Hello, this is the Tribe Stories, the curated sermons, conversations, and collections of poetry of the Tribe Lagos. The Tribe Lagos is a gospel expression based in the city of Lagos, committed to reaching the next generation with the message of God's love and grace. May this refresh and revive you as you listen.
All right, good morning, everyone. It's a wet Sunday morning. Okay, thank God I need help, Pastor Dari. Okay, you know what? Let's make a deal. I'm going to put my account number here. If you're going to call me Pastor Dari, just pay tight. If you don't want to pay tight, just leave me as Dari, Dari Med. All right, so special thanks to, I'm on prayer series, right? And special thanks to Pastor Toby, Pastor Martin, and Pastor Fedi for making my work a lot easier. So if it's your first time coming or hearing this prayer series, just feel free to go on YouTube and listen. Amazing. So I just want to be sure that we've been tracking. So can anybody tell us what Pastor Toby preached the first time he shared on? Okay. Can someone give him the mic? Okay. Just for the sake of those online.
Thy will be done.
No.
Yes.
No. First time.
Be calm.
Let's calm down.
Hallowed be thy name.
Correct. Also, what about Pastor Martin? What did Pastor Martin share? Who wants to try? Let's try someone from this side. Pastor Martin's at the back. Don't fall our hand, though. Anyone? Anybody? On this side? Anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. She wants to try.
Yeah. Thy kingdom come.
Okay. I don't remember the title, but yeah, it was an identity. What about Pastor Fedi? Pastor Fedi's messages are always very deep. So very... And then we know that Pastor Toby preached on that will be done. I drove to Ilori. It was my mother-in-law's birthday. So I couldn't come to church, but I listened to it online. Amazing. And I'm going to make a lot of reference to it. Now, real quick, I want someone to tell me what prayer is to you. Just keep it simple. No religious answer. Don't say prayer can be defined as no. Anybody, please feel free. We're just talking. My bishop, Chioma, she calls me pastor, I call her bishop. Chioma, yeah, tell us, what's prayer to you? Simple, nothing serious.
Prayer is talking to God.
Okay, prayer is talking to God. All right, any other person? I want one more person to try. Do you want to try? Okay, who wants to try?
Prayer is hearing from God.
Hearing from God. Amazing. So, quick story, right? I don't know if it was on YouTube, right? I saw a group of people and a small boy, probably like 3 years old or four, and they asked him to pray, 4 years old. I think we were about to just pray, like maybe opening prayer for food or something, and they asked him to pray. Next thing, the boy just went, ya-da-da-da-da, ya-da-da-da-da, ya-da-da-da-da. Why do you think the boy prayed like that? Exactly, because of what he saw. So it means that we are a sum total of the knowledge we have acquired over time. Trauma, good knowledge, bad knowledge, corrected knowledge, environment, what we see, everything we subconsciously act out is a sum total of the knowledge we have acquired. Agreed? All right, good. So it means that whatever it is that we think prayer is also a sum total of everything that we have acquired over time. Now, for us to really, really dive into what prayer should be, we need to go back to the maker of prayer, or the person that told us to pray, all right? So when we understand the maker, then we can understand the concept of prayer. Now, this topic is very dear to me, all right? Because I have a name, one of my name is Adura Agbemi. And it means that prayers work for me, more or less. Prayers work for me. And so I think I've shared this before, right? I was born in a white garment church. I was born not in the white garment church, but my parents were attending the white garment church when I was born. And if there's anything you know about white garment church, is that you outsource the prayer. Okay? The prophet is the one that will pray. So usually when there is a problem, you call the prophet, and the prophet will now pray and hear on your behalf and tell you what to do. So it means that in the, you know, they say that Jesus is the what? He's the mediator between us and God, right? So meaning that when we pray to Jesus in layman terms, Jesus will talk to God, and God will tell Jesus just to tell us. Now, we've introduced in white garment churches, there's a fourth layer. So you talk to the prophet will talk to Jesus will talk to God, and then it goes like that. Now, the implication of that is that it meant that I didn't have confidence in my prayer. Do you get it? It meant like if I even feel like I should pray and I pray, I don't feel confident that my prayer is answered because I need to go and meet my outsourced prophet. Do you understand? So you can see the implication that has on what? On prayer. And of course, what makes it worse is that by the time the prophets come and they act all the gymnastic, it feels like, ah, you've made the right choice. You get. I remember one time, my son and I always make fun of this, and that thankfully we're aware. And then this prophet comes, and they always have a prodigy that will be healing. And then he had this look of reverence, like he just came from heaven. And then he sat down, and then he pointed at me and said, you'll go to London. And he pointed at my sister and said, you'll go to America. And he said, when I was born, this, my hand, was white. It was as white as this thing. I'm like, what does it have to do with anything? You get, you know, what does it have to do? And then the prodigy was like, wow, like, this prophet, why are you so anointed like this, you know? And unfortunately, my dad was also giving, like, I was like, come on, we've grown more than this. Anyway, so after that, I went to Anglican Church. And if you've been to Anglican Church before, it's very organized, you know, very, very organized. And then when you see the reverend in their regalia, they look so holy. When you're passing by the altar, you have to bow. There's one chair that is inside that altar with candle. And then the organ, all those organ things, it feels like you're in heaven. So it kind of feels like that's where the holiness is. Then we on this other side, we are on this other side, you get. So it affected my prayer as well, because I felt like I wasn't holy enough. As a matter of fact, every time I saw the reverend outside church, they look very normal. I'm like, is this the same? You know, I'm like, hey, no, go and wear the, you know, you get. So that affected my prayer because I also felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like, you know, we're not the serious ones. And then I met some Muslim. I wasn't a Muslim, but I met a few Muslim people. And I realized how devout they were. 5 times a day, they are praying. And me, I'm still struggling to do one prayer. So I felt like in the arithmetic of God, God will listen to someone that seems more serious, right? Like this person is diligent, praying 5 times a day. And me, I'm still struggling with one. And then I think I also mentioned Jehovah Witness. I was like there for like, I said, it's an interesting journey for 3 months. And it was a different experience because there wasn't anything on prayer. There wasn't any emphasis on prayer and all that stuff. So, you know. Essentially, I wrote a book called The Evolution of My Prayer. And the idea, the book is about prayer, but it's not like 10 steps on how to pray or how not to pray. It's just the journey of how my prayer life evolved with the different experiences I went through. All right? I have a few copies left, and I brought them to church for anyone who wants to buy. So prayer is a very broad topic, but we can't go into everything. So I encourage you to buy so you get more details. And I'm very grateful for those who have bought and testified. In fact, one of the biggest fulfillments of my life is getting messages on Amazon, people all over the world saying that they read the book and he did this and did that. To God be the glory. All right, so now let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter 2, okay? Because we need to understand, we need to get the foundation right, that we need to evolve in our understanding of the concept of prayer and everything. All right, 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, I'll just read here. So it says, so get rid of all evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. So it means that, you know, our experience of salvation evolves, or it should grow, it should mature, It shouldn't remain at a stage it was years ago. Do you understand? Sometimes we find that people who boast that I've been in ministry or I've been whatever for 20 years. It's not about the duration or the time. It's about the maturity. All right? It says, cry out for nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's goodness. All right, let's track again on Hebrews 5:11. And Pastor Freddy has affected me. I'm track with me. Hebrews 5:11. It says that, and I'm reading NLT, I think, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things of the Word of God. And this is very critical because in understanding prayer, we need to go back into the basics of what salvation really is. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Amazing. 1 Corinthians 3, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would do to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belong to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, all right, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. So I'm saying here that, yes, we all came from different backgrounds, you want a different understanding of prayer, great, you know, but now we need to evolve. You know, the mandate and the expectation of God for us as believers is for us to evolve in our prayer life. 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as though and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. So, again, as part of my involvement, right, I went to a powerful Pentecostal church where there's a lot of prayer. Name withheld. If you know, you know. And, I mean, it was an amazing experience for me, honestly. You know, I was the John Wick of prayer. You know. I was the Baba Yaga of prayer. Yeah, you know, I was taking down the enemies. As I was dealing with them, they were dealing with me, so. And, you know, it was funny because, yeah, I mean, it was, in as much as, yes, I enjoyed all the paparazzi and all, but, I mean, I couldn't shake off the fact that, why can't these enemies just die? I mean, how can you be fighting enemies for years? So it's either I'm not anointed enough, or the enemy is too strong, or the God I'm praying to is not strong enough to deal with the enemies. Do you get? So it was a struggle for me. And every time I see people who weren't praying as much as I was praying and I was getting results, I just told myself that they should not worry. The enemy is coming. That prayer they're not praying now, they'll pray it in the future. You know, again, that was the understanding I had, which obviously had to evolve over time. All right? So, and was I getting results? Yes, I was getting results. But as you would learn, right, the concept of the law is that it saves a few, but grace saves all. The Bible says that God, his plan for us was to save all. And the provision he made was to save all. So we need to unlearn. We need to relearn, and we need to what? Learn. Now, we cannot talk about prayer without understanding the basic fundamental relationship we have with God. So please, let me do my diagram. Okay. So let's just so visuals help to understand. So let's say this is spirit. Let's say this is soul. And let's say this is flesh. All right. Now, the concept of salvation 101 is that when the Bible says we were reborn, right, it essentially means that we were reborn by the Spirit of God. Now, if I plant seed into a soil, what will come out? If I plant beans into it, so what will come out? It's beans now, Abby. So in the same way, if the Spirit of God, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit are what? Can we mention them? Yeah. love, okay? Joy, peace, and all. And that is the Spirit of God. So if it's that Spirit that gave birth to me again, and this is me, what's supposed to be here? It's love, joy, peace, and everything. That's the one-on-one of salvation. That's why they say in Christianity, if there is no death and resurrection, there is no Christianity. Because the concept of Christ dying is that we died with him. And when he came alive, what? We came alive with him. The same Spirit that what quickened Christ from the dead has now quickened our what, mortal bodies. So he's saying essentially salvation is that once we believe in Christ, we died with him, and we are now brought back to life by his Spirit. So his Spirit is what gave birth to us. So you as a person, this guy has everything the Spirit of God has. Does it make sense?
Yes,
yeah. Now, why it feels as if it's not so is because of our mind. Our mind is this layer. So your mind, I'm telling you now that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And in your mind, you're like, ha, this man, no, say, yesterday something went down. Fine, you are not denying that something went down. But that thing that went down is on this level. It's not on your real identity level. All right? So everything we are saying and everything I'm going to be sharing is from this identity. This identity, Bible says, does not have the capacity to commit sin. It's impossible. The Bible says, see that being born again of what? Of an incorruptible seed by the word of God, which is the Spirit of God. Okay? So this is you, right? And as we go on, you'll begin to understand. We'll be using this diagram to share. All right? So what forms essentially, I'm actually talking about prayer. What forms essentially this relationship, right, or this phenomenon is the relationship we have with God. All right? So we have a new relationship with God because God gave birth to us. So by default, we have a relationship. So for us to get value, we need to harness the relationship. We need to see the relationship. We need to know that there is a relationship. Now, I'm saying this because in the spectrum of prayer, let's assume this is prayer. It's like a spectrum, right? All right? So if here, at this point, I don't have this knowledge, right? And I believe that every time I sin, that the Holy Spirit leaves me. What do you think will happen to my prayer life? Okay. Just you know, feel free. Just say, what do you think will happen to me if I have that mindset? It will drop, exactly. Because I feel like when I commit sin, I feel like God has left. And let's be practical here. In those times when you commit sin and you feel God has left, and you now do that, you know that prayer, Lord, I come to your throne of mercy to obtain. Oh, throne of grace to obtain mercy. I am not worthy to come before this throne. And then you pray that prayer, and sometimes you cry. At what point in time do you know that you have been forgiven? Does anybody, can you tell? After, God bless you. So after the tears in your mind, you say, at least I've cried, and you know, this God should have, do you get? It doesn't make sense, right? It's not practical. So that's what happens at this point. All right? So if you believe that you must wash your hands and cover your hair and all that before you can pray, what will happen to your prayer life? So let's assume that you are in a car that is about to have an accident and you don't have scarf. So you believe that what? That there's not, you, do you get? So no hope. So there's no point in praying. You use paper. All right. So if you believe that you have to beg God, like you literally have to beg him for him to hear you, what do you think will happen to your prayer life? Right? So you believe that, for example, back then, you know, depending on what you've been diagnosed to be wrong with you, like, you know, how some people will come and say, there's one demonic pattern in your household family. And so based on how you, the magnitude of what it is will determine how long you fast. So this problem looks like it's deep. So this one is 7 days. And I remember back then in school, one prophet went to preach, a normal preach, you know, I don't know, just saw some, one guy was very happy. How are you guys? Oh, thank you for coming. Ah, this. Please let me call my prophet to talk to you. So I just think it was like, prophets will just say, well done, you are doing God's work. That's how prophets are seeing vision. And prophet said that I need to do white fast. And I don't exactly, good question. I used to do white fast and my own fasting was 3 days. My other guy said that his own problem is very deep. So his own is 7 days. And it's funny because I didn't even know what white fast was. So I thought maybe I shouldn't eat anything that has pepper. So I was eating biscuits, drinking Ribena. What my friend was doing, his own was dry. You know, so again, you can see how that mindset, all this mindset, how it's what affects prayer. Now, also, if you believe that, you are saved now, if you commit sin, you are going to heaven and all, and so you can keep on committing sin, how do you think it will affect your prayer life? All this has a way of affecting what? Our prayer life. So that's why we need to, understand patterns. Now, give an example. So when I looked at, church I used to go, when you talked about patterns and everything and all, and I really saw some patterns, right? And, I used to pray, you do all those gymnastics and pray. But I realized that I was praying in fruition. The prayer was not, how you can reduce yourself to a level where you don't know, and so somebody is taking advantage of you. Okay, good example. When we went to we were going to get married, we were doing photo shoots, my wife and I. So we went to Bar Beach. And Bar Beach then was no longer Bar Beach, right? You can walk in, no fee, anything. So next thing, this guy, Aguero, came and said, you have to come here. No, you have to pay with that. There's a security fee. And then we didn't know that there was no security fee. But we had to pay him. And when we paid him, I was expecting him to take us to one gate and all. He just said, okay, you can go. So if we had known that we're not supposed to pay, we'll argue with it. Worst case scenario, we'll just give him small thing. But because we didn't know what we had to pay. Now, when I came to understanding, I realized that the whole family pattern thing, there's a scripture that says having small principalities and powers. Yeah, but there's a part before that part. Does anybody remember where it is? I'm trying to remember. Yes, please, let's just quickly read that. It's quite significant. Colossians 2:15. Yes, let's start from 15. Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15. I want us to read it together. So it says, in this way, let's start from 14, yeah. So he said, no, let's start from 13. Sorry. For you are buried with Christ when you are baptized, and with him you are raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Now, next one. You are dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. So 14, but just to track, right? Here he's saying that if you relate to the family pattern, your great-grandfather did something, and then there's a pattern that has been going on in your life. And those things do exist, though. I'm not saying, if I even saw that he existed in my own pattern. And in fact, I think in my own pattern, mother's side was like, every man always had a child outside, whatever. So me, I didn't want to have a child outside. So that's what I was praying. It says he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by what? Nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So what I said was this. Yes, maybe there's a legal pattern in my life that for whatever reason was happening. But that identity died. That person that was carrying that curse, what? Died. And this new person does not have any curse. Do you understand? It's as simple as that. It's really, really as simple as that. The knowledge itself, the knowledge of this revelation is power in itself. Does that make sense? The knowledge of this revelation is power in itself. Now, it wasn't as if it was my first time of seeing this scripture. I'd seen it before. But the reason why it didn't have the desired effect was because my mind and my paradigm was still around fighting demons and fighting the enemy. And as long as that paradigm existed, even though I had access to this scripture, it was of no effect to my life. Amen. The Bible says, was studied to show that self was approved. You know, we used to read that thing, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. We used to read it to say, study so that you can be approved. No, it's study so that you can see that what you're already approved. Study so that you can see that you're already righteous. Study so that you can see that Christ has already provided all your needs in Christ Jesus. Study so that you can overcome all things and you can do all things in Christ. That's what the Bible is saying. It's study so that you can see that you're what? Already approved. All right? Now, we are in a love relationship with God. The driver of our prayer life is a love relationship with God. And that love relationship is driven by God. All right? Because there's a mentality we have that we have to do certain things to earn God's love. But that is wrong. Because the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, that was when Christ died for us. Do you understand? While we were yet sinners, wasn't as if we did anything moral that made Christ be like, these guys have tried though. Let's even die for them. No, while we're yet sinners, that was when God decided to demonstrate his love towards us by dying for us. So it therefore means that our salvation is not a product of any action that you did. It was the sheep that got missing. It was the shepherd that noticed the sheep was missing. It was the shepherd that went looking for the sheep. It was the shepherd that found the sheep. It was the shepherd that carried the sheep and returned it. So what did the sheep do? Nothing. The sheep just allowed himself to be loved. That's it. So when we understand that our relationship with God is driven by his love, not our love, then it begins to have the right effect, a right paradigm for us to pray the right prayer and pray well. All right? So the Bible says, as it is, so what are we in this world? You are thinking from here. Okay? The Bible says that what? In him we breathe, we live. The Bible says we are complete in him, who is what? The head of all principalities and powers. All right? The Bible says that all things, Christ has provided all things, you know, through Christ Jesus. So you are thinking from your identity here. And that is exactly where we need to pray from. So it therefore means that our fulfillment and everything comes from him. So the reason why this title of this theme is alignment and identity is that the moment we are thinking from this source, our prayer life is aligning. And it means that there are prayers that you stop praying. It's automatic. The moment you are thinking from your identity in Christ, you will stop praying some prayers. You realize that you don't need to pray some prayers. Guys, there's a time I used to pray for financial breakthrough. And as you know, like in most churches, when it's time for financial breakthrough prayer, that's when everywhere will scatter. So I got married, it was any salary, and before I know it, salary has finished. 10th of the month, 15th of the month. And so I heard one sermon. Do you know there are devourers that can devour your pockets? Put your hand in your pocket now and begin to pray. I prayed, devourer, die, fire, burn, everything. Salary was still finishing. I said, this devourer must be very strong. Someone else said, no. If you have destroyed devourer, you have to now seal the hole in your pockets. Are you with me now? So one stage is to destroy the devourer. Another stage is to now block. I say, okay, that's it. So I've destroyed the devourer. Now the pocket has to be sealed. We still do. We call the fire, welding, power, seal, everything. Salary was still finishing. So I said, no, you need to hold your legs. I'll say, my leg, take me to my place of destiny. I prayed that prayer. After I finished praying the prayer, I felt inside gutter. I said, no, this can never be my place of destiny. Amen. So until I heard the sermon by Pastor Sam Adeyemi that taught about financial management. Yeah. That was when I was delivered from the hole and the devourer and everything. Exactly. And I'm going to get there because sometimes we interpret God's answer to be supernatural all the time. Yeah. But it's wisdom. It can be wisdom. Do you understand? God has called us to live in this world to provide solution. And that solution comes from wisdom, divine wisdom. And we're going to get there in a bit. That's why when we speak in tongues, according to Romans, is it 28? It says that sometimes we don't know what to pray or how we should. So when we speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit is making intercessions for us and helping us to express our deepest desire. Guys, I've been, my wife and kids traveled last year. I've been in Nigeria by myself. And I realized that sometimes dealing with loneliness, right? I realized that there was a part where I'd outsourced a relationship, some people have the Holy Spirit, to my family. And so this period has been the time God has even taught me to harness that relationship. So the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to pray and gives us the right dimension and how to think and all that stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's look at 1 John 5:13. It says, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. We have confidence that he hears us whenever we ask anything that pleases him. That pleases him means anything in alignment with his will, all right? And since we know he hears us, we make our requests, we also know that, you know, he'll provide all that we need. Now, what this means essentially is that the more we align with our identity, right, the more we have results in prayer. It's as simple as that. Now, a good example, I think Pastor Freddie mentions this a lot. So, well, you know, my wife, we had the baby, and the baby came, and, you know, we thought that, okay, yes, breast milk will flow. Milk did not flow. And that was causing what you call postpartum depression, all right? Because as a woman, you feel like the most basic thing you want to do for your child is feed the child. And you cannot, you know, you are not able to feed. So that has a lot of trouble. So as prayer warrior, now, you know, I used to be prayer warrior. I said, no, don't worry. This milk will flow. And then I prayed all the flow, fire, everything prayer. The milk did not come out. What was going on? This is that my anointing has gone down. So I prayed again. I remember praying again. And the milk did not flow. And I remember the Holy Spirit told me that he has answered this prayer. But I wasn't seeing it the way I imagined. I just thought that the milk would just be flowing everywhere. Right? But however, God answered the prayer not the way I thought he should answer the prayer, but the way he had designed to answer the prayer. Because it was through that situation that she became the first lactation consultant in Nigeria. Obama put her on his page, and she got a lot of grants. And she has blessed thousands of women that have gone through that situation. So in God's plan was not just to help her, it was to help a lot of other people. Do you see now? Yeah. So we need to open our minds to align with whatever it is that God wants to do and not be fixated on how we expect God to answer the prayer. Does that make sense?
Yes,
sir. Awesome. Now, we need to weigh our prayer on the scale of love, because James 5:4, I think, says that sometimes we pray amiss. And the praying amiss means that the motive of our prayer is wrong. It's not rooted in love. So we all want to blow. And it's our prayer. If I receive blowing now in Jesus' name, it's good to blow. But the truth is that sometimes our motive for wanting to blow is wrong. Do you get? Our motive for wanting to blow is wrong. See, one thing that God taught me is that money is for this world. You meet it here, you leave it here, and you go. So it means that the money God has given to you is not to just harass it, but to be of blessing and impact to the world, to solve problems. Does that make sense? So the moment you have this mindset, it will challenge your blowing mindset. Because, you know, the blowing mindset is something that is for around us. Another thing God told me was that, who is the richest person in the world? I don't know if the person is a Christian. So if you have the mindset that God blessing you is just money, 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 then that means the God we serve is not powerful enough. Do you get? So, because if it's powerful enough, Christians should always be the richest people in the world. So it therefore means that the mindset around we thinking that prosperity is an evidence of, you know, is wrong. Because the people that are the richest don't, you get, they may not necessarily be Christians. Amen. All right, so God uses situations, and I love how Pastor Toby, you know, preached last week. Sometimes the challenge we may have, it may not be our fault. It may not be your fault, but God uses it to do something in our lives that will work together for good for us at the end of the day. Does that make sense? So sometimes we may be praying about something, the result may not be coming as quickly as you want, but God is actually answering that. He's there, he's with us. Do you get it? God answered, no is an answer. God answers all prayers. God is willing, is speaking all the time. And we'll talk about how distractions can be a problem. Now, there are different spectrum of prayer, like I mentioned. At the basics, like I mentioned, you can be throwing punches, so to say. So sometimes you say, okay, let's pray. Pray, something happens. So you just go. Just imagine I'm trying to fight. No, not you, Nelson. And then you blindfold my eyes. I don't know where Nelson is. And I'm just throwing punches everywhere. So sometimes that's how we pray. Maybe one may land, one, you know, the others are just in frustration. Now that's praying in separation. So we're just praying, like you're just like asking somebody that is far away and hoping that what he would answer. All right. So the mindset of going to a mountain to go and pray is separation. I'm not saying it's bad to separate, to go somewhere and pray, but the moment you have the mindset that it is not until you get to a particular place to pray, is separation. Because when Jesus met the lady at the well, he said, you know, it's no longer, is, you know, the Spirit of God is literally inside you, and you have that relationship with God to pray. Now, when you have the idea, you know, I'm just trying to track my notes. Okay, yes, our other level is when you know, it's like almost like the next level, right? So you know that God is with you, right? But at the same time, you also feel like the enemy is strong. You know, I've mentioned that. So the mindset that you are using to understand the enemy is now affecting the mindset of what God should do in your life, all right? So you are indirectly believing that your effort is what will bring the prayer. Does that make sense? Now, the concept of Sabbath, I think I explained it before, means rest. It means that where God stopped is where you are starting from. So when the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day, it wasn't out of exhaustion that, I don't think so the world will be like this. So, and then he now rested. No, that rest is synonymous with Christ, meaning that where Christ finished is where you are starting from, all right? So that is where we should pray from. That's what you call alignment. So alignment prayer are not selfish prayers. They are prayers where you are aligned with God to fulfill his purpose on earth. My standing here to share today is an alignment prayer, because I remember over a year ago, I prayed that, God, what would you have me do next? And here I am. And it's symbolic because this is my last Sunday at the tribe for now. We'll talk about that in a bit. So alignment prayer is dedication and consecrating yourself to God's purpose and agenda for our lives. Amen. So our prayer life is supposed to evolve. And when you look at Paul, when you look at Paul's prayer after a while, what was he praying? That I may know him, you know, fellowship of his power, blah, blah, blah. What can separate us from the Lord? You can see that his prayer had what evolved. His prayer wasn't, in fact, when he was on that island where snake beat him, good classic example of how it relates to us. So a poisonous snake beat him. The people in that island interpreted that action as curse. You know, the way people can say, this thing happened to you, your household, village people, you know. And if he had looked at their reaction, he probably would have panicked and declared a fast for himself. But Paul did not pray a single prayer point. A single prayer point. Because he was tracking from here. Amen. He was tracking what? From there. So our prayer life is supposed to evolve, like I mentioned. All right. Now, God answers us in different ways, supernaturally and unsupernaturally. I want to dwell on this in a bit, because sometimes the concept of how God heals us may not necessarily be supernatural. Now, let me also say that what we call natural is actually supernatural that we're used to. Do you get? The fact that you wake up, the fact that you can breathe, the fact that the world we live in itself is actually supernatural, but we're used to it, so it has become natural. All right? Now, God can answer in a supernatural way. He can answer in a natural way, or he can answer combined. Classic example. An angel appeared to Joseph, right, and told him to flee. If an angel as powerful as it is could appear, the angel could have just carried him now and just move. Does that make sense? The angel appeared, supernatural. The angel gave an instruction towards flee, natural. It's almost the same way where we'll say, ah, God, you know, this, I'm feeling lost towards this person. Holy Ghost fire, take it away. No. The angel has said, guy, flee, they run. Do you understand? So there's wisdom. You understand? God, there's wisdom in God speaks to us. The Bible says the marvelous grace of God, I think Titus 2:11, has appeared unto us and is doing was teaching us to how to be, how to stop ungodliness, something like that. So you see, there is a teaching, there is a wisdom that God uses to answer prayers. Now, I'm going to give you guys a real life. They say the title is Let's Get Practical. So let's get what? Practical. And I'm saying this because so that we can become unreligious in our mentality towards how we pray, and we can pray to God about anything. So I think in 2022, it was my 20th edition of giving my life to Christ. You know how back then, altar call, you there. So it was my 22nd, maybe 20th or so. And so from that time till I got married, I didn't have sex. I had sex only after I got married. So when my wife and I started dating, right, I think 2 years before, we had said, okay, this relationship is going to be consecrated to the Lord, you know. No kissing, nothing, and everything. Said, okay, fine. Now, when we started the relationship, we met in school, our friends, though. But I just noticed that as we were becoming, you know, dating and all, there were war in my members. I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you interpretation. So it was weird to me, like, okay, what's going on? I was living in self-denial and all. After a while, I went to pray. Fire! Holy Ghost! Loose! Anointing, come, everything. After the prayer, I felt very strong, like, nothing. But by the time we see again, say, man of God, what is going on here? So, I think I was in Lagos, right? She was serving in Ilori, and so she, you know, went away, we're missing each other and everything. And all of a sudden, she just appears, you know, and surprises me. Do you know those scenes where you see a girl and then you kiss her like that? That was how I kissed her. She said, man of God, I didn't know you had this in you. I said, I can do all things through Christ. I just said, well, I'm being practical. So after that time, that was 6 months. You were cutting for two. That was 6 months. After that 6 months, it was now getting more difficult. I said, God. And it's, you know, the funny thing was that God was not even blessing us. I got a job. That's why I got a job in Hell's Holdings. She got a job. So it challenged my doctrine. Like, I would have thought that now is the time that God will be punishing. And my prayer life obviously reduced, you know, because I felt like I wasn't holiness unto the Lord, you know. So one time, both of us now had a meeting. Let's talk about this sex before marriage. Is it really in the Bible? Are you sure you are reading it well? Where is it? Is there a reason anywhere? Fornication, are you sure that's what it means? So this time around, my prayers, you know, after all those things, you now go to, I will pray all those, come before your throne of mercy, all those now, I say, God, oh yeah, let's just talk. Why do I need to abstain? Yeah. And so we prayed that prayer, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to us. Number one, it said that the discipline that we need to stay faithful in marriage is from now you will learn it. Number two, it said that if you want to be able to tell your kids how to be consecrated, this is how you will learn it. Then some other things like that. So we say, okay, fine. Let's still try and do. So okay, fine, yes, okay, no sex for marriage. So now how should we now do it? Said number one, my parents were very liberal. So when she sent around, she used to stay over in my house. So we said, that has to stop. Number two, all those things we used to tell ourselves that when I get married to you, the way I would, that has to stop. When you get married, you can continue the conversation. Number three, the content we feed on, we have to control those things. Guys, when we were able to do all these things, and we started living from here, it was very easy. It became very, very, very easy. Now, on the side, I think I mentioned before that when we're about to get married, though, weeks into or days to getting married, that's when one prophet from somewhere now told her aunt that they should tell us that when we get married, we should not have sex for 1 week. I said, I want to see that prophet. And what kind of demonic prophecy is that after waiting? Now, so that is how God answers prayer. That's a practical example of how God answers prayers. Now, related to that, and this is also a funny one, but I'll say it, we are getting practical. So, you know, like I said, 2002, so it was almost like 10 years. So I was with one of my friends and was saying that, oh, it was like, this is your babe, fine, no? That, I sure say you people good. I said, no, I'm not getting that, waiting. He said, waiting? Guy, your thing don't knock. That there's no way you have this type of person saying, I don't knock. Even though I was forming like, I better go. That seed, so though, I started wondering, has he really knocked? How can I confirm if it has not knocked? Should I go to hospital? What will I tell them at the hospital? So I prayed about this because I had come to that point where I felt like I could talk to God about anything. So the Holy Spirit said that I should discuss it with my wife, right? So I, you know, said I'm about to have a conversation with you and it's awkward. And I, you know, said everything. She laughed. I said, please now, I don't need your laughter now, you get. I said, Darren, you need to be calming down. So her response was very, very helpful. So she knows I like all this, like, let us pray about it and all. She said, okay, you know what, let's add sex to our prayer life and all. And I remember one time she made fun of me when we were praying. She said, Lord, I pray that you empower Dari when it's time to be strong, to be bold, to be courageous, you know. To God be the glory, you can statistic and testify to. With two children, amen. Another testimony is healing, all right? I used to have hemorrhoid. And I remember my mom and I used to fight a lot because she's always looking for one agbo or one thing, something somewhere and all. And all those things didn't work. And I told God, I remember hearing a testimony from somebody that he had hemorrhoid and he prayed about it and suddenly he went. And like, that's exactly the testimony I had. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because God has different ways of answering and you have to leave it to him to answer the way he likes to answer. Lastly, before I close, I want to talk about distraction, all right? And I want to use the example of what happened at the Mountain of Transfiguration. Now, Peter and the other guys were used to the law. And you know, the Bible says that Moses is a representation of the law. So in the Bible, when you hear Moses, think of the law. When you hear prophets, think of Elijah. So those guys, Moses and Elijah were like, those the G's, like big guys, like these guys are senior men, thank you. And so even though Jesus was with them, but this guy that is just wearing short knicker and all, you know, fits rich, you know, Moses. So what God did at that mountain of transfiguration was to help them identify and overcome their distractions. So you've realized that Jesus was in the middle, Moses appeared, Elijah, and God said, this one in the middle is my beloved son. Listen to him. So that action helped them to understand why Jesus was the real G. You understand? So that's why you ask Peter, or when Jesus asks Peter, who do you say I am? Thou art the Son of God, you know. Do you get? So we need to be able to identify our distractions and deal with our distractions. You can know all these things, but as long as those distractions are there, it will affect your prayer life. Distraction can be an association. It can be friends you have. It might be an environment you are in. It might be the wrong knowledge you have. And so it's important for us to get rid of distractions. Guys, having faith is not just standing your faith and have faith. Having faith is focusing on Christ. The more you see Christ, the more you see your identity in Christ. The more you see Christ, the more you are aligned with your identity in Christ. That's how it works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? God's word. And God's word is the revelation of what? Christ. So we're going to pray, right? Because sometimes you feel like, okay, fine. I've heard all these things. I can't remember the last time I prayed for financial breakthrough. I was sharing. I can't remember the last time I prayed for. I don't pray for financial breakthrough anymore because I know that in this place, God has provided all things. Does that make sense? Practical example. So I'm moving to Canada, right? I resigned and You know, I as at the time I resigned, it wasn't as if I had a job or anything. And I woke up, I think on Monday or Tuesday, and I woke up in a panic, like, oh my God, like this salary has stopped, oh. And there's no job, oh. And I looked at my account, if it was my account balance that woke me up, because the thing had never been at that point. So I woke up in a panic. And of course, when I wake up in the morning, I always just like to just look at the scripture. I say, okay, God, just help me out here. And I saw this scripture, I think Isaiah 41, that says, be not afraid, for I'm what? Always with you. And the Holy Spirit said, your account balance is never, can never be your source of security. I am your source of security. Guys, on Wednesday, I got an offer to work in a multinational in Canada. So, and that's just one of it, right? I was just telling Jeffrey, what we talked about is happening. So, there's some, when you look at this, when you're living from here, guys, relax. You are living in rest. God has indeed supplied all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. So when you want to pray about certain things, for example, when I went to Lorry and I told my parents that I'm going to Lorry, I'm going to drive. Ah, no, ah, don't drive. Here's, you know, all that fear sometimes has a way of, you know, affecting you. I just opened to Psalm 91. And I wasn't praying it like it should happen. I was praying it like it's my reality. Me that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I will always abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will see of the Lord, he is my refuge. So you are praying those scriptures, not as if you want it to happen, but you are reminding yourself of the reality. That's how you pray. Before my wife left, she said, she wanted to pray or have night vigil with her friend to pray for visa. Pray for visa? No, you are not praying for visa. You are thanking God for visa. Because this is who you are. We walk in our identity. And our identity, all things work together for good for us, always. So we're going to try that today because, you know, we're saying we want to get what? Practical. All right? But before we try that, there's a song I want Bernard to sing. And this song is amazing because it's what God used and I've used several times in tough times where I'm not sure what's going on. It says, prophesy your what? Your promise. And I'll just read some of the lyrics before Bernard comes on stage. He says that, I have found you in the middle of my mess. You had been there all along. Open arms and open heart. You called me in. You did not hesitate at all. And the lies I have once believed, they crumbled at the weight of your truth. And the fear that gripped my heart is arrested so that what? I can see you. Then he says that, though I only see in parts, I will prophesy your promise. I believe you, what? I believe you, God. So, Bernard, please help us out. And I just want you to concentrate on the lyrics, okay? You can close your eyes if you want and just associate it with whatever challenge, whatever troubles, whatever it is that has affected you so far.
You can log on to thetribelagos.com or email us at hello@thetribelagos.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter on The Tribe Lagos. God bless.